This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Don't let the sun catch you crying. Crying at my front door. You've done me dirty now, and I don't want you no more. Don't let the sun catch you lying. Lying at my front door. I found me a good man, and I just don't need you no more. You can cry, cry, cry. Baby, you can wait. Beat your head on the pavement till the man comes and throws you in jail. Don't let the sun catch you crying. Crying at my back door. You know you've done me dirty, and I just don't want you no more.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Beautiful day here, right here in Hawaii. We just had to play that song for you, and don't let the sun catch you down. Anyway, just the last week we talked about some housing issues and homeless, and just an update. While we were able to talk to some of the VA folks, what I failed to mention in that talk last week is that the YWCA is part of this program, this thing there at downtown with the U.S. vets. And apparently what is happening, there's this gentleman named Ron Hahn, and give you just a little insight. He is a Veterans Administration type. I don't know his official title. But and then there's Andrew Dahlberg, who is associated with the what I can best describe. You call his office and you get his recording. If you're about to hurt yourself, call 911. If you feel suicidal, that kind of thing. But apparently, what it appears to me in looking at all of this, the VA, the Veterans Administration, wants the money. They want to be on national news. They want to be locals saying they care. But the reality is they have deferred most of the activities, actually the management of the people, and there's no, in my opinion, what I've observed, no real independency on the part of the veterans and the their relationship with the U.S. vets and what have you. Whatever it appears the U.S. vets do, this guy Ron Hahn and Andrew Dahlberg are willing and capable of just signing off, and when people like myself call up, they make this declaration. Well, while it is, we'd like to talk to you, but it's a privacy matter. Well, $28 million in your salary is not privacy. So do what's right by the veterans, and we'll see what happens. But anyway, there are some serious problems with those programs, and our legislators, our governors, our city council people should all take a look and hold these people accountable. If they take money from us, and if they don't take money, you got to advocate for the veterans or the homeless or whomever. So let's not allow the Dahlbergs and the Ron Hahns, and I hope to speak to them soon about it, but, you know. But anyway, that's good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Yeah, I do. My son came back from Afghanistan and served his country as a Marine in Iraq and Afghanistan. He came back to Hawaii here and wanted to start looking for a job right away. And I suggested he go to the U.S. Vets. And, of course, he went down there, and he's only 23 years old. And they told him he would have to stay there and be pretty much like a prison, you know, not leave for 30 days or 90 days or something like that before he could even start looking for a job. And he really just needed a place to sleep and eat and shower and then get up early in the morning and go look for jobs. And, of course, that's not how they run the program. You basically sign in and you're stuck there until you pass some kind of, I don't know what they call it, but, you know, they don't immediately let them start getting out and looking for work or tell them where the jobs are. And the other problem that he had going there, he felt really out of place. A lot of it was, you know, the Vietnam vets that were there. Mm-hmm. And God bless them for being there. But he felt like, well, wow, you know, Vietnam was so long ago. And if they haven't helped those folks, how are they going to help us?
Yeah, it's disheartening.
How many years they had to help them. Mm-hmm. And they haven't even helped them. And they're still stuck there. So that wasn't really an incentive for him, and he kind of, it made him feel worse, made him feel bad being there. Mm-hmm. And, course, he didn't care for the food either, but he just said, "Mom, I can't be there." It just freaked me out, you know, knowing that all these guys are there for help, and they haven't helped them since the Vietnam War. What's going on?
I think it's the guys on top are fancy. Probably some of them in the VA activities administrators are former military, and they find their way to these nice paying positions. But in all honesty, what I've seen, they don't rise to the occasion. They don't do their job. There's no real compassion. While they may argue and say they do, what I'm hearing, when I pick up the phone and call to inquire about why did you rubber stamp a supposedly investigation and you allowed a vendor to investigate itself time and time again, and then you stand behind that and claim that it has been investigated and we support the investigation. That is ludicrous.
Absolutely. There should be transparency and there should be some common sense involved.
Mm-hmm.
This is not they're not using any common sense. They're taking the money, doing whatever they can with it, but they're not really helping the vet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they're being tied down to this little place that they put them in.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's depressing. I saw it when I went to take my son there. I mean, mm-hmm. they're all sitting around outside, and I'm talking about the people that they're supposedly helping.
Right.
They look like a bunch of depressed people sitting there, and they're not doing anything
mm-hmm.
for them. Let's help them. Let's get them back into the community. Let's, kind of get them reacclimated. If they can't reacclimate people that were in the Vietnam War, and that was so long ago, those people should have been helped long ago that are
mm-hmm.
in this particular place,
mm-hmm.
then how are they going to help all the guys coming home?
Yeah, they're not.
You know?
They've got just fancy jobs, fancy titles, and top-heavy with just overloaded with fancy people dressed in three-piece suits. And that's, I'm sorry to say that, that is my opinion and the observation.
Well, I think we should all be looking into it. I really do. I think that people should keep, you assume that something called U.S. vets
mm-hmm.
would be, enough. And that as a parent, you're encouraging your vet who's just come home to go to a program like that because you think, wow, it's going to be good. It's going to, it's going to help you. And I think it really the community, from talking to folks, they really think that. They really
mm-hmm.
believe that, oh, well, why don't they just go to their U.S. vet? Why don't they just go to the Veterans Administration? Everybody has this idea that, oh, that's all they have to do and they're going to get help. And that's just not the case.
Right. Well, last week, and I'll be getting off of the subject, but last week I talked about the fact that they were serving a meat to the clients there at the YWCA, U.S. vets clients. And the meat, the box showed some in December 4th, I think, 2012, it had expired, and I talked about it just last week. So imagine, instead of owning up to it and feeling just downright stupid, which they should have felt, here's what they did. They went back and viewed the videotape in the kitchen, right, to see who it was that took the picture.
Yeah, that's a concern.
You understand?
Who's the troublemaker in the group?
Yeah, a troublemaker
yeah.
when, in fact, you're feeding people meat that is 4 months expired date. And and what did the veterans say, the administrators say? Oh, they've done their investigation, and we pretty much concur, but the new complaints are, no. These guys, Ron Hahn, this is a shout-out to you. You tried to be officious with me and tell me you couldn't talk about it. I don't want to talk about the specifics of a complaint. It's a privacy issue. But when there's a box that shows meat 4 months expired and you're feeding it to veterans, that's not privacy. That is just simply wrong.
Well, you wouldn't feed it to animals. You wouldn't feed it to your animal. Why are you going to feed it to somebody that fought for your country?
Yeah.
I mean, we have to lift these guys up.
Yeah.
We have to give them some moral support. We have to tell them we're proud of them. We have to give them a leg up and give them lists of places that are looking for jobs. I mean, these are simple, basic things that we can do by pulling up on a computer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's demoralizing
mm-hmm.
is what it is.
Yeah.
And to do that, you think these guys aren't smart enough to know that food isn't fresh? I mean, really. come on now. They had probably better food that they were eating when they were in Iraq and they were living in the dirt. My son lived in the dirt for 7 months without even a camp that they were at and slept with his head on his pack. Mm-hmm. And he did that for all of us so that we could have our freedom. And all they're asking for is, you know, help us get acclimated with some, you know, some little the counseling. They don't, you know, that should start right away, and they should help them get, you know, look for jobs by giving them places to go.
And
so this place is hiring, this place is hiring. Here's a bus pass.
Or this
Here you go.
This program should be enriching. For example,
absolutely.
So you take, instead of apologizing and calling up to the show and say, you know what, that is horrible to be feeding people 4-month-old meat that is expired. This is meat, bacteria, worms, whatever could
Everything,
be in it.
Yeah.
Now, imagine you go and then your response to that is to find out who took the picture.
Who told.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, but to make matters worse, another incident was that you have a medical appointment and they call to out of retaliation, acts of retaliation, for having foul complaints, it appears, that they call the VA to see if the person had a pass, a medical pass.
That's what they're spending their time on.
That's exactly. And in fact, and then tell the person that they're liars and they're cheats and what have you. And in turn, the person is sat there and presented them with, I understand, as it's told, is that they presented them the document that they the slip that was signed by the doctor showing that they were there, but they ignored that. And so this whole practice with Daryl Vinson, the COOO, Ron Hahn, Andrew Dahlberg, and all of you guys out there, you need to look to enrich the folks in the environment.
Shape up. Shape up. You know, really, it's that simple. Shape up and be a leader. Be an inspiration.
Yeah.
The thing that bothers me as well is, you know, the people of Hawaii are good people. And people in America generally are good people. They donate. They donate clothes. They donate money. They donate things to the to help the vets, and they really do want to help the vets. I really believe that.
Oh, yeah.
But the bureaucracy behind it is ripping them off.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, when people donate, they expect that those donations are going to go to the vets.
Right.
Not to people that are running some kind of place that are going to sift through it first or take out all the goodies and decide, oh, I like this for myself or my, you know, my church or my whatever, and then it doesn't actually go to the vets. The same with money that's donated. People in Hawaii, they donate those things for the vets, not for it to go somewhere else, because other places have their own donation programs that they do. They don't need, you know, to take from another group.
Right.
It's common sense, and it's somebody that has leadership that needs to look into this and be and just decide, make a decision. This is not what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to show them that we're proud of them and we love them and we care about them enough to give them fresh food or give them the food that we serve at the schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, those companies that serve the schools, they could serve the vets, the U.S. vets. They're right up the road.
Right, but
you
the
know,
problem
I don't understand
is
why this is happening.
But you can't.
Anyways,
yeah, you can't get a 3-piece suit if you go and spend the money properly.
Well, you know. That's ridiculous, and I appreciate you looking into it, Carol, and I think we should all keep our eyes open and speak up and speak out when we can and, have transparency in this and call your ombudsman, call your local political people and see really who the leaders are, the real leaders, not just the talkers.
Yeah, the talkers.
Or the ones that want to hide behind and say, well, you know, we'll look into it. No, that's not good enough.
Yeah, I think this program...
Let's head down there and really go there.
But, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Carol.
Aloha.
Aloha.
But I would ask that any of you out there that... And all of you care, I'm sure. And what I would ask that... Call and ask the legislators to have a hearing on this U.S. vets and this whole relationship. Because I don't believe that it is meeting the acid test, so to speak. I think there's some problems there. And when you're harassing people and your whole purpose after something is disclosed publicly is to go back and find out who told. That is an insult to our intelligence and our humanity, and it's just wrong. So if you continue to keep it up, I'll continue to talk, and I have many things to talk about, but I do apologize if it sounds repetitive. But when you look in the eye of a veteran, and I'm a veteran, but I didn't have – I'm reluctant to even say openly that I'm a veteran when it comes to what the most recent veterans have experienced and been exposed to. When I was in – maybe the most stress that I had was finding out if my hair was too long and that I get the Article 15. That was the stress that I had, to be honest with you, compared to what these people, to be deployed and deployed again and again into war zones. And we didn't have IEDs. We had someone drive along and see you, and your hair is hanging a little outside of your hat and what have you, and you might get dinged on that. That was stressful, but it rises nowhere near the stress that the current veterans that we see, and even the Vietnam veterans. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. Your last caller was very articulate. She really hit it on the spot. Anyway, you know, what really bothers me, I'm noticing that more and more. Like in the Star Advertiser this week, they had this headline, the crime section, homeless woman robs home. Now, that reminds me of the N-word. Excuse me. But and how about this woman robbed the home?
Yeah.
Homeless Damn. Woman and robbed a home. I mean, it's like the contrast. Here's a home that's getting robbed by a person without a home.
Right.
So, in other words, a stereotype. We're all robbers. We're mm-hmm. all drug addicts. We're all less than human. We're end people. Okay.
Right.
I hate to bring that up, but you feel that all
Dave,
over the discrimination,
Dave. What is an end people?
Yeah, well, I don't like.
I wonder what they look like.
Okay, let me put it this way. Okay, being niggerized, okay? Being homelized, you know? Homelessized,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
I'm chuckling, Dave, and I understand, and I'm not offended, and I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And I think in that same vein, for example, when a teacher gets busted for molesting a child, they don't say a molester or a teacher molester. They say former teacher, right?
Oh, yeah.
A former policeman, right?
Oh, yeah.
A former doctor. See, but when it comes to homeless people or blacks, it's always, you know, but we fought that issue and that stigma to when the news come on. A black man, 5 foot tall, that's, you know, what good is that going to do? You know?
Oh, yeah. You know, and you know what it does? It makes a stereotype,
mm-hmm.
and the general public catches on to that.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have a home, if you're
right.
homeless, even homeless, I hate that word. If you don't have a home, you can't afford to live in a home.
Right.
Then you are, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
There's something. I mean, you have to be a bad person.
Yeah, but
yeah,
in reality, if you look back in her past, she probably get the real robbery occurred in her house in a foreclosure or her ripping off at the job or the real or the politicians jacking up the taxes and everything that just caused her to be out
oh,
on
yeah.
the streets. You know, that's the real robbery. But
but
I agree. I understand fully what you're saying.
It's really angering me. I've been writing a lot of letters lately to the mm-hmm. editor. Because there's not a week that doesn't go by where three or four folks put a little letters to the editor. They say, "Oh, you know those homeless people. They got their tents on the street, on the sidewalk, and they're throwing trash around. And they're just a bunch of drug addicts and they're alcoholics and they're taking our taxpayers' money and you know they're just making a mess and you know and." Where is the compassion? I was at the hearing of the city council the other day. Every darn one of them.
Well, you know, that is a real issue, Dave. This how people are portrayed. You know, that's what the capitalistic society. You know, it's no longer who you are; it's how much you are.
Well, yeah, it's a money thing. I mean, I remember I think it was this morning's paper, the letter to the editor. This fellow says, well, you know, they have no, if they don't have money to spend, mm-hmm. you know, to help the economy, you know, mm-hmm. they have no right being showing themselves on the sidewalks.
Well, I've always said, and again, for those out there that are quick to categorize people, African Americans or people of color, as thin-skinned and sensitive, but we told you about this during the civil rights days, that it was successfully done to people of color back then, and nobody gave a damn. Or some did, but the population that felt so comfortable, warm, and snugly. These things were when there were no homes and when you were denied and when you were found to go across the track in these neighborhoods, the middle-class neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody... there were civil rights activists and civil riders, freedom riders and what have you, but the whole of America. So I say to you all of you listening out there, you can take it the way you want to. Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
See, the Patriot Act is nothing new. As an African-American, I'm subject to search just because I'm driving while being black.
Oh, yeah.
I'm subject to search just for being alive. They can come and kick your door in, and they did quite often in the past days in the black communities, and no one uttered a word. So welcome to homeless people, the less fortunate, the deprived, where their civil rights are revoked by individual officers. Welcome home, America. We told you so, and it wasn't a black thing.
Oh, yeah.
So it now we're all there because it was about the capitalistic intent.
Yeah, and, you know, here it is, too. When you're home, I mean, see, this is like this color of your skin. When you're homeless, a lot of us kind of show ourselves because we're carrying a backpack, and a lot of us can't afford to have nice, clean clothes. We can't have three-piece suits. We can't afford a three-piece suit. So, and we can't afford even to get a darn haircut and that kind of stuff, you know.
Right.
So we look, you know, we look bearded and, you know, disheveled and all that. Mm-hmm. So we going down the street, and a lot of us have a grocery cart or whatever, and all of a sudden, one of those people, we don't allow them, you know, we don't want them in McDonald's and that. Even myself, I've been discriminated against going into McDonald's and that kind of stuff at times.
And I think I appreciate you describing the N people, and that stands for they're not people anymore. That's what.
Oh, exactly.
That's the
they're
new.
They're not human beings anymore.
No,
they're people without homes,
yeah.
or the homeless, less of a home, less of a human.
And I'm going to get off this subject in a bit, but one of the things is that what's really deadly and frustrating is that you hear them say, well, we're going to sell the affordable homes. We're going to sell the house, the public housing. And, well, when did you fix it that you have the luxury of being able to sell what you have? Shouldn't you be acquiring more?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's something that, and I think before it's over, a great many more are going to be out there experiencing it. And maybe then we will all wake up and say, well, you know, it wasn't as bad as it seemed. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to act and do something. So.
Yeah. Really.
But anyway.
Anyway, good day.
Okay. Well, thanks, Dave, and hang in there.
These stereotypes have to change because unfortunately, the political powers that be, they hear that. They hear that from their constituents. They hear it from their voters. Oh, these homeless people, they're sick of them. Come on, guys, get rid of them. Just sweep them somewhere. Get them out of here because they're a nuisance. I mean, you know, it was the city council. That's this new law they're trying to get through. This new ordinance.
Right.
That is, they're a nuisance. Can you imagine that? They're a nuisance.
Right.
No due process. They can steal your tent, your backpack, your survival gear. They can steal that. City-sponsored thievery. They can do that under this new ordinance if they get that passed.
Well,
you
that's
know?
What they do, and it's up to us to make a change. But
yeah,
but okay. Well, I'm going to get off of this, and we'll talk about it very soon as these
wonderful
knuckleheads continue to do their thing. So
yeah, great.
All righty, thank you,
Dave.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
I don't know. What we're going to do about it, but there's some serious problems with we're just handing money over our shoulders, we being legislators and Veterans Administration. They're hand out of sight, out of mind, and all we hear is that, well, Shinseki might run for this, Shinseki might run for that. Why don't he run to a meeting and ask the question, how are we impacting our clients? What are we doing? Are we enriching their lives, or are we making ourselves more impressible presenting ourselves so that we can run for higher office? And while speaking of higher offices, I want to share with you, we frequently talk about the corruption in government. And so, again, that's the common theme here. I'm going to be doing quite a bit on politicians, and I've mentioned to you a while back that Congresswoman Colleen Hanabusa. Now, I want to share something with you, not to just simply speak to Ms. Hanabusa, but to speak to the system, this so-called state government system that we have. I want you to hear a statement here that this is on the DCCA, a document, the annual report. So when you're a business entity and you have to file an annual report, this annual report you sign and you say that I certify under the penalties of Section 414-20 Hawaii Revised Statutes that I have read the above. The information is true and correct, and I am authorized to sign this report. Now, in this instance, this was October 26, 2007, signed by Colleen Hanabusa for Hanabusa Incorporated. The officers at that time, she reported, is herself, Isao Hanabusa, and June Hanabusa. And the same thing certified in 2008, the same thing in the annual reports. Then in 2009, there is a change, but it's a certification that Isao Hanabusa was still an officer, but in parentheses, deceased. In 2010, the same party is deceased, but still indicating that he's the vice president and director of the organization, Hanabusa Inc. 2011, again, a deceased person on the board of directors or whatever that is one would call, list all officers and directors. And in 2011, deceased. 2012, deceased. And so then a name change goes into her husband's, changes it to Littles Enterprise, Inc. This is John Souza III. Now, I will allow for a mistake being made, and no one's perfect, but for 4 years to indicate a individual, some say it may be honorary that they would in honoring the person. But again, why would you certify? And they're certifying that it's true, but he can't be deceased and serving as a director or serving as a board member of the group. So now, mind you, that's not to say anything was wrong with that, but if these are state records and you're certifying that it's all true and accurate, one can argue, yes, she's reporting that he's deceased, but you're only reporting two officers and one deceased. But here's the problem. That's okay. I can tolerate that. I contact the DCCA and requested an answer, the Department of Commerce and Consumer Affairs. And this is where I obtained these records. So I didn't get any answer, and they later called me back. I had requested to speak to a supervisor to have it explained to me if there was any violations other than the fact that it was certified that it was true and accurate, but in reality, the person is deceased. So here's the problem. Instead of saying to me that these records were not accurate, per se, they should have written me a notice. But instead, this is my supervisor informed me that they will contact the filer, which would be Hanabusa and or Souza, and we will let them know that there was a mistake. And my question is, when were you going to notify me? Because I'm coming down as a person interested in these records. I'm relying on the accuracy, and I'm wanting a question answered. Why then would you not notify me? Well, the explanation, well, it could have been a mistake. How do you make a mistake for 4 years? Well, it could have been a computer error because, you see, it's some people make mistakes by putting the commas in or putting misspelling the last name or not putting the address right. That's not – this is not a mistake. So the thing is, and I do that, I offer that to say that the agencies, it's highly suspect when – they won't bother to write the requester a letter and explain, and so that, because I'm going to go and repeat this based on these official records, but these records are not clear. And instead of calling me back, they're going to call the party and say to give them the chance to correct it, which is fine. But you would think they would send you a copy and notify you that these records are not accurate, so therefore we've corrected them, and here are the corrected copies. So that in itself is how the act on the part of, I think it's Catherine Tanaka was her name that I spoke to. And I'm asking the question, why would you – how do you know it was a mistake, first of all? Because the person signs and say, I certify that it's true and correct. So anyway, that's one instance. Now, I've been looking at the Hawaiian Homelands issues and the various leases, and I've made requests for some now 6-7 months. And some of those records, I have not gotten any of them. Now, one in particular was on Malama Solomon and Flora Solomon, or the name is that's her mother. And I'm informed that there are violations. And even within house, I was told that, yes, there are the confirmation of violations. But the point is, I've got no records, and Daryl Young, or whatever his name is playing the game, holding the documents to keep from getting this information out to the public. Now, they've gone beyond. And so I inquired, and well, why is there a delay in these particular records? Well, they've been cleared. We submitted them to the Attorney General's office, and the Attorney General looked at them and cleared them. Then I get another email. We're letting our DHHL lawyers look at it before we can give them to you. So now my curiosity is really heightened. What are they hiding? So some of the allegations were that there were residential building on the certain properties that was leased. I don't have the facts, but this is what I was trying to get and shine some light of transparency on what is really happening. But again, they have kicked it into gear to hide and conceal. Here's another one. On the big island at Hilo, there is a land there, the Hilo Wood Treating Company or what have you. Now, there are contaminants in that soil because they used to use heavy chemicals and preventing insects and what have you, termite and rot and what have you. So a lot of that has been leached into the ground in that area. So the lessee is not paying the lease, or the monthly lease. And here's a little trick that I've observed a lot of people will do, especially when you have an agency like the Hawaiian Homeland and a state agency who really is there to cover up rather than to protect the people. And that's what's happening with Hawaiian Homelands. They're in the business of covering up and delaying and stymieing the efforts and the progress of the Hawaiian people. They're not there to serve the people. I just tell you that. And if you want to challenge me, come down to the studio and I'll share with you incident after incident. But the trick here is this, in this Hilo thing, and you see it quite often. You don't pay your rent so that you'll be evicted. And by being evicted, you somewhat will escape the responsibility of having to clean up that mess. So what has happened in this situation, they're now the state and the health department, I'm informed by someone in the DHHL, that they're going to treat it like a brown site. They're going to put asphalt over it and let them walk away. So then what's going to happen? Monies from the state coffers or the Hawaiian homelands will be needed to clean this up if they wish to use it later. The party that leased it and contaminated it for over the years get to walk away free. So when we talk about the Hawaiian homelands and its efforts, I believe it rises to the occasion of very criminal and it's robbery at its best. So that's one of the situations. The one on Hanchette that I spoke about, the commissioner, haven't received anything yet, nothing. But again, the whole process is to hide this information. And Darryl Young, I've talked to the governor's office, and initially, he was busy, and this is Louise Kim McCoy. He's been busy, and he was off island. What's the excuse now? Just outright delay, delay, delay. And I hope that if it's important to you that transparency and openness in government is important, then let's hold Neil Abercrombie responsible. See, Darryl is probably tenured and much can happen to him. But we can end up holding his boss accountable because apparently his boss is part of the Democratic Party and Malama Solomon is part of that group, that club. Now, it's not a party, I should say. It's a club that's having a party, the Democratic Party. And so riddled throughout the system is this behavior and where agencies become bee feeders or doorkeepers for the corrupt politicians. And delaying me is that I'll come in here and speak as long as I know I'm not lying. I'll speak about it anyway so you can keep the documents if you wish. The reality is that I'm still waiting for this information. And we're not going to give up until something, and maybe someone over there will come to us and share with us what is happening. And again, I'm looking for permit issues at the Flora Solomon. Or there, she has a different name than Solomon. But anyway, it's the company that I was talking about earlier was Hilo Wood and Treating Inc. They are the real concern. And what is happening? again, the Hawaiian community, the Hawaiian people, monies that is intended for them to create leases and enhance their lives and their homeland is going to be spent on cleaning up toxic sites that should have been, the burden should have been placed on the party that contaminated the land. And this situation repeats itself over and over and over. And depending on who you are, if you are politically connected, if you, your name ends in Solomon or Hanchett, you or the he's, you got yourself a game. But if it's just the kapu or whoever the basic people that are not connected to the Hawaiian money jug, you're screwed. And it's unfortunate. These areas, they start off clean. They start off, this is for the Hawaiian people, and then we get involved into the cover-up. And that's what's going on. Governor Neil Abercrombie's administration, in my opinion, is the worst that I've ever experienced in these years that I've gone through. There's no transparency, and we should have known this when he came in and did that game, and the shell game with the UIPA head, or the Uniform Information Practices Act office, the way he did that. So that was the signal. But in my opinion, what I've experienced in this state, we've had some bad moments with other administrators, and the Lingle administration was bad. But Neil Abercrombie, is this administration is, it's almost just, I would think we're in Russia or China, and I probably believe in reality that the people in China have greater access to their government. And I know you probably think that's strange, but everything in this state, when you make a request, there's a delay. They take their time. They come up, and you would think they know the rules by now. But each occasion, we had to send that to the Attorney General. Well, you only have, we'll say, 20 days, 10 working days, or 20. But we're waiting on them. And so you set that layer of delay and deceit. And then that's what's happening, folks. It's something that I don't know how we're going to get rid of it other than voting Neil Abercrombie out. And again, these are the things that we need to focus on. And interests my curiosity is that the paparazzi bill, things like that, they were out there with great vigor to pass that. You know, Clayton, I've never seen anybody so starstruck. I thought, well, why don't, the way he's behaving, they should make a law to prevent legislators from going up and backslapping and showing all 32 in front of these so-called movie stars or whatever the heck they are. And they're hurrying to get these laws passed. But the Uniform Information Practices Act has been watered down. There's no punishment, no penalty. And, you know, the thing, for example, going back to, and the rules are not clear when it comes to regulating our legislators, and it's purposely done that way. For example, and I'm waiting on the receipt. I said it was a $1,000 cake, but anyway, there's the George Grace's, I'm waiting to see if I can get a document from him, where a receipt where he indicates that he paid $1,000, I'm told maybe $1,300 for a cake, wedding cake for Colleen Hanabusa. And this is based on his comments, and we'll see exactly what happens with that. But again, I called inquire at the ethics office, and I'm told, well, I don't see this in her report where she have reported that she got such a fancy cake from a constituent or a business person or for a friend. Well, maybe if he's a close member of the family, we wouldn't expect him to report that. Well, he's not a close member of the family. They're not in the same family. And as I'm told, there is lawsuits, so they're not even friends. They're at odds with one another. So, but instead of getting a straight answer, I had about 15 explanations as to why they wouldn't do anything about this. But when I go to get 5 pages, I'm being charged for them looking at it the first 15 minutes. I'm charged $5 for them to open the file and make the first copy. Then I'm, in some instances, $1 a page, 50 cents a page. The people that government is supposed to serve is being treated unfairly. But the government people involved, they get protected. So anyway, there's going to be a lot more that I'm going to be talking about. I'm still pulling up records on. I'm looking at a matter of some illegal dumping and transport of dirt and solid waste materials. It's going to take a little time. I'm going to need some cooperation. But it stems from an investigation that I had back in 2008 helping the Princess Kahana community there with some complaints that they had. But anyway, in Nanakuli. But these are the problems. And I know it's dismembered today, but the what I'm saying, and sounds like I'm all over the place, but really it's all related. Our government is at the lowest point in history, I believe, because we have fancy people, lots of lawyers making promises. Everybody's getting their piece of the pie, and we drive by the parks. They're good at and quick to respond to kicking out the homeless. They're quick to get out there if there's someone that is speeding or done. They're quick to do that, but the real crimes against the people gets covered up, whether it's in the Uniform Information Practices Act, the Office of Information Practices, whether it's the Ethics Office, whether it's Chuck Todd, or whatever. This is just wrong. So we'll keep talking about it, and I don't know if we're making a difference, but at least we'll hang it out on the line and air it out. But anyway, in the next hour, we're going to have Carolyn and Mike Galoyu from PFLAG, and we're going to be talking about marriage, same-sex marriage, and DOMA and all of that. And like the lady said earlier, the earlier caller, isn't it funny? They haven't done anything for the veterans from the Vietnam War. Why do you think they're going to do anything there? So why is government in our lives? Why is the church in people's marriages and all? I mean, why? So we're going to talk about all of that. Join in if you like, 524-1080 in the next hours. See you shortly.
I just found out about love, and I like it. I like it. I like what love has been doing to me.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Hey there, cutes, put on your dancing boots. Come dance with me. Come dance with me. What an evening for some terpsichore. Handsome face, I know a swinging place. Come dance with me. Romance with me on a crowded floor. And while the rhythm pings, oh, what lovely things I'll be saying. For what is dancing but making love set to music playing? When the band begins to leave the stand, folks start to roam. As we waltz home, cheek to cheek we'll be. Come on, come on, come on and dance with me. Hey, cutes, put on your bassy boots and dance with me. With me, what an evening for some terpsichore. Handsome face, I know a swinging place. Come dance with me, romance with me on a crowded floor. And while the rhythm pings, oh, what lovely things I'll be saying. For what is dancing but making love set to music playing? When the band begins to leave the stand and folks start to roam, as we walk home, cheek to cheek we'll be. Start to roam. As we waltz home, cheek to cheek, we'll be, we'll be, we'll be, we'll be now. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, and dance with me.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. As I shared with you, I have in-studio guests with me this morning, Carolyn Martinez Galoyu.
Thank you.
President, or I'll give her your title, MSW for PFLAG, or all parents of families and friends of lesbian, engaged, transgendered, bisexual, transgendered, and questioning, right?
Thank you.
And her husband, Michael.
Hi, Galoyu, good morning.
Michael Sr.
Yes.
Yeah, we better make that abundantly clear.
Yeah. One thing, the young one think he's more handsome than the old. Well, we'll set the record straight right now. You listening, Mike?
He's still sleeping.
Oh, really? Getting his beauty nap.
He's getting his beauty nap. There you go.
Anyway, I call you up and ask you to come in and share with us this subject of, for me personally, the DOMA, same-sex marriage, and I'm just curious, who's out there defining all of this? And this is the things that goes on in private people's lives.
That's the sad part. First of all, I want to say that everything I say is my opinion. Mm-hmm. I will back it up with personal experiences, and I have a lot of paperwork here in front of me to back it up there. But those people who think they define marriage in the state of Hawaii are really the religious right, specifically the Roman Catholic Church, the Mormons, and the evangelicals, such as Hope Chapel and Nonesuch, because they have been fighting. And this, I can't understand why they're fighting civil rights. This is a civil rights issue, and civil rights is a nonpartisan, personal issue. And I have been given a great book as background about another civil rights issue, with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And it's so neat to see the parallels, because back when they were doing the freedom marches, and we have a person here in our own community that went and spoke to Dr. Martin Luther King, he and Diane Nash, when the freedom rides were going on, and Dr. Martin Luther King hadn't joined in yet, and they, as students, decided that he needed to get involved because they were getting some flowback from their college not to get involved, just to stay out of it, because Rodney Powell was a med student at the time, and but he felt so convicted that they had to get involved, that they had to fight for civil rights, that he goes into this room, and Diane Nash at that time was this chair of the student group, and it was like going into the lion's den, because no one wanted the doctor to go marching. That's what happens here in Hawaii. No one wants to say that the king is naked. And there's a lot of people that I'm going to point out today that I think are naked. Anyway, Dr. Powell said no one was going to tell him what to do. Well, we all know it's all history. But just think, we have a freedom fighter right here in our own midst, Dr. Rodney Powell, and his husband, Bob. And they've been together for 36 years. Why aren't they the ones defining marriage? Why isn't my our good friends, Sandy Farmer Riley and Jane Walker of Maui, together 36 years to the same people? Why aren't they defining marriage? In my book, they are. They are the Martin Luther King Juniors of the world, because they're doing it. They're living it day to day. Yet you have all of these hearings down at the Capitol with some of our politicians, not in the level, definitely not in the level of Martin Luther King. They do not understand civil rights, and they continue to placate the religious right that's out there, because even on women's issues, on the compassionate care issue that for emergency care in hospitals. A couple of weeks ago, I was there in the Capitol, because it's a civil rights issue in my book. I was there testifying. Who was against it? Oh, what's his name? Deacon Francis Yoshimitsu, the mouthpiece for the Roman Catholic Church here in Hawaii, and he said to them, and I sat there and I gasped when he said, well, the little sisters and this is about the negotiations, not negotiations, they're already working on opening up West Oahu Hospital. It used to be St. Francis West. And it's Walter Yoshimitsu. Francis is his wife. Mike is keeping me on the straight up and up. But see, now I got both of them in here. But Walter was the one who said to the panel. Now, this is the judiciary panel of the Senate. The sisters just may not allow the hospital to open if they find out that this bill passes. To me, sitting in the audience, that was a threat. Yet, that was on Monday. On Friday, I go to a civil community meeting And the guest speakers are from Queens, who have now, as of December the 14th, 2012, have already signed the documents to take over the hospital. So what does that make, Walter Yoshimitsu? If they've already signed the documents, but the church is interfering in women's lives, and they have continued to interfere in all of our children's lives, our LGBT, our gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender children's lives since 1995 and before.
Here's an observation that I made regarding the civil rights and the constitutional rights. The church, many of them, tend to ignore the constitutional rights of others and the civil rights, but they like to get the exemption under the Constitution. So they know the constitutional rights issue. They know these things. They know that the separation of church and state when it's convenient. But how do you migrate into the lives of people and then start to dictate? Well, here's what I've observed in this state.
Good.
The legislators, I see some of them walking around with their crosses on their ties. And for me, that's painful because then I know already that half of them are corrupt and some of them are predisposed and now they're sucking the hind tit of the church. What does that mean? Where is the justice that's going to take place? Why are they involved in the lives of people? I'm offended because it's none of their business. I believe constitutionally that others should have the right to marry whomever they please. That's what I believe. I'm offended when the church has greater voice and have a direct contact with my legislators. What about me? And I'm not gay, but what about me willing to see this thing progress and get out of the lives of people? Because if they're in their lives today, they'll be in mine tomorrow.
That's right. They are in our lives. I am a former Catholic. I'm not even recovering. I'm recovered because I am now a Native American spiritualist. I declared that back in 2002 because I wanted to be able to perform marriages because I know in my heart and I know by the Constitution this will happen in the state of Hawaii. It's already happened in the other states, not all the other states, but a good majority of the other states on the mainland. And I was refused in 2002. It took me until 2005 when I raised my hands and said, and see, this is a real injustice that in the state of Hawaii, there are no justices of the peace. To perform a marriage in the state of Hawaii, you have to be either a judge or you have to be a minister. So finally, in 2005, I went online and I became a minister. I have more training than most of the evangelicals that we have in this state. First of all, my husband was in the diaconate program with the Catholic Church two different times. We've studied the Bible. We have given Bible classes in the old days. I have a beautiful icon in our living room from a Greek Orthodox community in Germany that gave it to Mike and I for the accurate and positive way we held our Bible studies. So it's not that I am unknowledgeable, but in order to perform marriages in this state, you have to have a minister. So I went in. I gave my paperwork. I had a letter of recommendation from Reverend Sam Cox, well-known Methodist minister here in town. He's now retired, big on civil rights. And they wouldn't accept that. He said that I basically walked on water, that I had my master's in social work. I could counsel the couples before they married. I went through all that. They still denied me. Finally, I just went in and went online and for $15 became a minister. And isn't that a shame that the state requires you to be a quote-unquote minister? They don't look at your background. They don't check your credentials. Nothing. But if you have a church and it gets its 501c3 status, so they don't have to pay full property tax. You know that they only pay $300 a year.
Can you? Mm-hmm. You have to, as for same sex union, you mm-hmm. have to have a license.
You have to have a license.
You have to pay for it.
I have to pay for it. I paid $10.
Now, in the church, mm-hmm. does the pastor have to have a license to conduct weddings?
He has to be registered. And so, yes, this that's one thing the civil unions did here in the state of Hawaii. It brought some extra moolah into the coffers, because now to get a license to marry, you have to be, and you're given a number, mm-hmm. You have to pay $10.
But, I mean, each church now have pastors. So mm-hmm. each pastor, each reverend, or anyone that's going to officiate a wedding, do they leave Hope Chapel? This is a pastor of Hope Chapel. Does he have a license?
Is he required? He's supposed to.
I don't know.
That would be interesting to find out if they all had to recertify.
I don't believe that the state has addressed it.
That's a very good.
And that fact alone would show that the discrimination that exists mm-hmm. in the culture, this climate, mm-hmm. and it points to you're giving favor.
Of course.
To churches.
Day after day.
So you might want to look into that. I just haven't had the time. But
right.
I've wondered, look, when you see all of the churches, that in itself, if they, for each fee that they charge each pastor and the number of preachers I've seen around here, mm-hmm. we'd be out of debt. Yeah, serious.
That's true.
And I suspect mm-hmm. there has been these acts of discrimination where the same-sex union people that are officiating probably have been required to, while I don't believe that, and I don't believe there's a policing agency to the church to see you're holding a wedding, you need a license.
That's right.
So anyway,
the thing is, when the marriage or civil union is documented through the state, then you have to have some number or something, because this is another thing. They don't call me a minister in the state whether or not I'm doing a wedding or a civil union. They call me a performer. Now I want to know where my SAG card is so that I can vote on the Oscars next year. Or I haven't been able to do that for quite a few years. And I should approach that way. But it's a lot better than what the state once wanted to call us, and that was solemnizers, which I had a fit because that's too close to the word sodomite. And I could not believe that anyone in their right mind, but then we're talking about the state of Hawaii. I'm not sure they have a right mind. They may be right-minded like mm-hmm. the churches, mm-hmm. but there's not. But that is a very good question, and I probably will field that to a wonderful organization called the Hawaii Separation of State and Church, mm-hmm. Because they really like issues like that. Did you know one of the people that is one of the groups here in Hawaii that is on board with us all the time now is ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union. Mm-hmm. Yet back in the 1990s, they didn't, as one former member of an organization said, they wouldn't touch the marriage issue with a 10-foot pole. Mm-hmm. So, see, they can change their mind. So can our president, Barack Obama. I have a letter here from him. I'm not going to read it to you, but it's dated September 1st, 2010, when he said he supports employment non-discrimination as well as legislative repeal of the Defense of Marriage Act. But at that time, he did not sign on to marriage rights, freedom to marry, same gender marriage, same sex marriage. Look at all these words we have to deal with for a simple civil right that Mike and I have had since August 21st, 1965.
All right. Well, speaking of marriage, it isn't just about people falling in love and the need to marry. It's attempting to address other things. And what are those other things that are of great importance that a marriage would provide?
Inheritance rights. Now, in the state of Hawaii, we have are supposed to have with civil unions, the same rights mm-hmm. that married people have. But we've had to rewrite the laws I don't know how many times. They called them cleanup. Oh, we have some cleanup bills we have to pass to make sure that the civil unions bill that was passed, because when they passed it, they forgot. And this goes right to the head of someone I heard you talking about earlier, Senator Clayton Hee. He, back in 2010, when the current civil union bill was passed, refused to hear the bill that had been worked on for years, and that was 444. Mm-hmm. House Bill 444, Senate Bill 444. It's been, you know, it's one of those things. Think of this. All of this knowledge that you have to have just to get your kids the right to marry. You know, I feel like almost a walking encyclopedia. Do not ask me how many states have the right to marry. I don't really care. I rejoice with everyone that does, but my thing is the freedom to marry right here in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. If you want to call it the Marriage Rights Act, if you whatever you'd want to do it. But anyway, Clayton Hee had to have his own bill. And I sat in the governor's conference room with a group of LGBT proponents, supporters for the marriage bill, and we were told that Clayton Hee would not hear 444. He had his own bill. Mm-hmm. Well, lo and behold, after that bill was passed, I remember sitting in that room going, why fix it if it's not broken? The bill had already passed, except for Lingle, former Governor Lingle, vetoing it. Mm-hmm. But no, he had to have his own bill. And so he wrote the bill, but he forgot that those people who had reciprocal beneficiaries, mm-hmm. they were not included. So to get a civil union on January 1st, 2011, and if you had a pre-existing mm-hmm. reciprocal beneficiaries, you had to go back to the state and ask them to negate it, as if it was a marriage, mm-hmm. and you couldn't receive your civil union, even though that's second class citizenship, until you did that. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Clayton Hee. I've never had the opportunity to thank you publicly. Well, here it is. Thank you for shaftiness.
Yeah.
And again, guess what he's done this year? This year he has a resolution.
Uh-huh.
Now, we were told from the beginning that the marriage rights bill was going to pass. But Clayton, he won't hear it, even though we're supposed to have the numbers over there in the Senate. Carl Rhodes, mm-hmm. the head of the judiciary for the House, won't hear it. Oh, there's a call in. Ooh, let's hear.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, I do. I wanted to say that I had attended a church, Hope Chapel, and it's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, I was kind of new to the church, and, you know, people that are new to the church, they're looking for answers and whatnot, and, you know, different people have different ways of trying to find their spirituality and whatnot. And when bill was going to be voted on, it was around that time that I was new to the church, and the pastor went on a tirade about, at the beginning of the service, talking about how everybody needs to go down and vote against it, and that they were going to be going down and voting against it, and the pastor was physically, I mean, you could see that he was upset about this whole thing. And the part that really amazed me was that there are people that attend that church that are told that they're welcome there, that are gay or lesbian couples or whatnot. But then he had the nerve to go and at the beginning of the service talk about how we needed to all go down and vote against it. And I just found that very hypocritical. And I, you know, my belief, my opinion is everyone has a right to marry whoever they want to marry. And
you
know, this day and age, that, you know, I mean, a lot of the gay and lesbian couples, like you said, have been together for many, many, many years, and they're discriminated against and they're shunned, and everybody has a right to love who they want and have rights as far as getting insurance and beneficiaries, and being at the hospital, being considered when making decisions, financial decisions and medical decisions and all of that.
Thank you.
It's disturbing to me that in this day and age as civil rights have come as far as they have, that we discriminate against people. And I just want to thank you folks and good luck to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Carla. You know, I'll share a little story with you that I've heard the debate and from afar, I look at it and say, wow, that's wrong. You mean you're telling me that if you have a partner and they're in a car accident, an emergency, and you hop on the plane and to get back to the hospital and you walk in there and you begin to ask questions. This is a partner that you've known and lived with for years, and they turn you away at the door. We can't tell you anything. Well, to the average listener or person on the periphery just standing, that's okay. Well, it's okay. It's a sad story. But I had an experience that rose to the same level. I got on the plane. My mother had a stroke. I got on the plane to get there, to go and pick my brother up, to get to the hospital, get to Tennessee, and then drive from Tennessee to pick him up, he's ill, and to take him and myself up to the hospital. And we get there. And I'm told, we can't tell you anything. Why is that? What's the condition of my mother? What's the diagnosis? Well, your sister has ordered that we can't tell you anything because she has a power of attorney. And honestly, and I'm not patronizing, but if you hear these things talked about and then you say to yourself, what is it that is a difference? There's no difference.
There's no difference.
And so when we say there is a difference, then we're taking the liberty to say how much a person can love or what that. It's none of my business into question. But I went away with that lesson in mind, and I'm even more supportive of it. And who cares if I support it? It's none of my business anyway.
No, it is. It's everybody's business.
It should be their right. It's a right of the people. So whether I agree or disagree, it should be the right of everybody to do.
That's it.
Period. You know, and I think that's what's happening. Some of us think we have a right to have input on my next-door neighbor's relationship with their partner. It's going to ruin marriages if it... How so? That means I'm going to be sneaking around the back door or something?
Oh, well, I have a Hawaii story. A lesbian couple together 30, 40 years, because the couples that I've talked about today, Rodney and Bob and Sandy and Jean, they've only been together 36 years.
Wow.
But there are other couples that have been together longer. Anyway, this couple, one of them has a heart attack. She goes into the hospital. They will not let her partner go in with her. So she was in your shoes, Carol, and she was sitting out on the curb, crying her eyes out because she couldn't be with her partner, didn't know if she was living or dead, didn't know what her prognosis was, didn't know what was going on. Guess what? She has a heart attack. She's picked up by an ambulance and taken to another hospital. Her partner dies, and she's in some other hospital. That is the sin. If churches want to talk about sin, that's the sin. They have no right. And all of those legislators that have been chickens this year and gone by and not heard the bills, you think about that woman. She's still alive. She's still alive, and she still lives here, and I know her, and I won't. She's a very private person. I will not expose her name to you, but this is a real life story, and she happens to be a Roman Catholic. Even my daughter was discriminated against. In 2011, when we started doing the civil unions, you have to, married people do too, you have to go through, you buy your license, $65, you can do it online, but then you have to have a face-to-face with an agent. So there are two or three agents that work down at the state office. But they only work from 8 to, I think it's 3.
Mm-hmm.
Any time after that, you have to go to someone else. So I thought, well, it would be neat if Michelle, my daughter, could be an agent. We live all the way out in Makakila on the west side. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any agents out in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So we go in. You know why they rejected my daughter? These were the words out of the state official's mouth. We don't want any nepotism. And that's what, you know, you doing ceremonies and then having your daughter, oh my, being an agent for the state, she would get $15 for every face-to-face she had. Well, and that was nepotism. And I looked at her and I said, hey, sweetie, here in Hawaii, it's who you know. Or who you're related to. If that isn't nepotism, I don't know what is.
Well, that's why he's an authority on it. Well, that was a caller calling in.
Oh, if I'm you, sorry.
No. I mean, they have to be patient. The world, we're all part of this world. The light goes red. I mean.
To this day, Michelle is not one.
Yeah.
And that's an injustice, too.
And the scope of things, as things are progressing, I remember mm-hmm. just years back, no states were legal. It was legal, a same-sex marriage.
That's right.
How many states now, or what states do you, if you could name
well,
some
I,
all?
Well, I can name some and all of them.
The reason I ask that is that uh-huh. we are known to be a democratic state.
Right.
And these guys, I mean, I'm wondering, I think what we are, a church state, a religious state, I honestly believe that.
Honest.
Because, but only on from Sundays on at 7 to 9.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the time, we're in the lives of everybody else because we've gotten the word, apparently.
That's right.
But to be democratic, to be very religious, and yet we go forward, we go backwards. We mm-hmm. insult the people in the communities of gays and lesbians. We don't afford them the rights. It's puzzling. So anyway, if you
right.
what states
okay,
are?
Okay, what states? Let's go down them. Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, the District of Columbia. We have Maryland, Massachusetts. I'm thumbing through this. I'm saying New Mexico. We'll talk about New Mexico shortly. But Oregon, the state of Washington, Rhode Island, Vermont, and, Washington. The state of Washington. They just passed theirs. But New Mexico, they did something this last week that I think, and I really, this is a quote from their mayor. Well, this comes from a document called the Nonprofit Quarterly Organization, and the article is entitled Santa Fe City Attorney, quote, same-sex marriage is legal in New Mexico. And they're standing on the fact that New Mexico doesn't have a ban on same-sex marriage. There's nothing. Mm-hmm. And so they have decided that as of this week, they will, later this week, they will be starting issuing licenses because it's the mayor said so and the attorney general said so. And so this is what I love this. This is a quote, and I think this should be embroidered. Someone out there who likes to embroider. This comes from Cross, who is the mayor of Santa Fe. People's lives are short. And when you're waiting for your rights, you know, how long do you have to wait? I'm sorry we didn't do it 10 years ago. I don't think we should wait another 10 years before we push the issue. Let's start treating everybody equally under the law. Now, I want to get up, and I want to use their mics in all the churches, and I want to read that to them. Because going back to the caller, when she told us about that experience that she had in the New Hope Chapel mm-hmm. and how vehemently the pastor was. He was in violation because there is, even though the churches love to say there's no such thing as a separation of church and state, there is. But more than that, he violated. Churches are not to take a stand. And that would violate his 501c3, and then that church would have to start paying the boogoodles of back taxes. We would have money to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and house the homeless. If all of the churches in this state started paying full property tax. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the first person to say that. A realtor in a class I was in, I was training to be on the commission of property tax commission or something. Mm-hmm. And we were going down all of the, you know, little nuances, and we came across churches. They only have to pay $300 per property. So she raised her hand and she said, "What? Mm-hmm. That can't be right." And they said, "Oh, yes, it is. That's a state law." And so she said, "No, at that time we were in sort of a recession." And she said, "Boy, we certainly wouldn't be in a recession if they started paying their due shares." Mm-hmm. And so isn't that, give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and give unto Rome the things that are Rome or right. God? Or
well,
wait,
let
it's me, God.
Let me ask, can a minister counsel a gay or lesbian person while in that same church under the same roof telling the rest of the congregation to go down and advocate against or protest against gay marriage or gay civil unions or civil unions?
Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a lie. Hypocrisy is that is what does that do to the gay people sitting in that congregation?
Yeah.
And the thing is, we have gay Catholics. We have Dignity Honolulu, mm-hmm. which is a part of an international organization called Dignity, mm-hmm. Dignity USA, and they are card-carrying members of the Catholic Church. But to have a mass, you know, like they have they don't have Nicaraguan masses, but they have Samoan masses, and they have Korean masses, and they have all kinds of different ethnic masses. But to have a gay mass, you can't do it, because Bishop Ferrario back in the 90s stopped all Catholic churches on the island from allowing gays to gather or gays to have a mass for them. And it's not a gay mass. It's just a mass that would reflect, and I challenge anyone. In fact, tonight at 7:30, 7 o'clock, go down to St. Stephen's on Kapahulu and join in with the singing and the mass that I say, they call it, they say it's a service. I say it's a mass. It's beautiful. It's inclusive. It honors women. It honors gays. They pray for everyone.
They also have, in the Catholic Church, especially here, have a great voice in our government here. I'm at a loss to understand how can you have a church, an institution with so much pedophilia, historically, and yet you're embraced by the Mufi Hannemans and the Romy Cocholos and all the others who sit there and are reluctant.
Duke Ionis, let's not forget.
Well,
good
yeah,
old Dookie boy.
Well, that's true. And Norman Sakamoto and Gary Okino. But again, you know, I look at this, and Tammy Faye Baker and Jim Baker, they were railroaded out. I mean, they're just boom, it just exploded, and they're out of the way, right?
That's right.
What was the other guy? Swagger. And all of those guys for touching women.
That's right.
Right?
Oh, but did you know?
But on the mm-hmm. other hand, with mm-hmm. the church, though, yeah. no one stands up, and I mean, if you don't like my comments, please feel free to call in, but the facts and the truth of the truth, I still wonder what goes on. And they, you say they have it a mass and they don't want these people there. It's probably because they own the world and they can violate our senses, violate our children, and yet have a voice in telling others what they should and shouldn't do through our government.
That's
now.
Right. through the government. Mike was a deacon until he was asked to resign, which he never resigned, but we just never didn't go back. We were asked to resign because we were a subversive couple. They were afraid if Mike became a deacon in the Catholic Church that people in that parish that he would be assigned to would lose their faith. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I have never lost my awe of the world, of the wonderful things that are in it, of the peace that is between two people, three people, a family. But I have lost all faith in the men in the frilly white dresses or the fuchsia dresses that rule the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't just rule it. They have it mandated. They have a book that they look at on the, in fact, we were told that the Bible is on one hand and the code of
canon law
is the other. In the code of canon law, there's a little paragraph there that says, I'm sorry I didn't bring it. I know I didn't burn it when I left the church, but it's someplace and I didn't find it. What, I'm going to paraphrase it for you. A priest can be defrocked if he brings scandal to the church by having sexual relations with a minor. When I read that, when I was a staunch Catholic, I went, what? Do you mean as long as it doesn't go public and become a scandal, it's okay? Do you mean that having sex with anyone is okay as long as it doesn't involve a scandal? It was hypocrisy. And that was, in fact, people have asked me, why did I leave my church? Did I leave the Catholic Church because my son came out? No, I left my church because of the hypocrisy, the lies, the betrayal of the Catholic Church in this issue of pedophilia that is rampant and ongoing. I mean, what did the bishop Silva say this week in the Star Advertiser? Oh, anyone who has been harmed by the church, come to me and we will help your healing. Bull. I wouldn't want the church 100 miles close to my child, regardless of what age or what sect. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Damien, that is just in the thing this week, mm-hmm. in the newspapers this week, has just become co-ed. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. So now, do those parents actually protect their children? Do they go every day to school with them? How do they protect them from, I am not saying that there are rampant pedophilia all over, but they are so ingrained in the Roman Catholic Church, so protected, so supported, that I didn't want anything to do with them. Does that mean that I don't love the sun that comes up in the morning or the moon that comes out at night? No. But I don't have to live by a man's rule and a mythical book. Mm-hmm. I have a born-again Christian niece who says she holds in one hand the U.S. Constitution and in the other hand holds the Bible. She loves our son. And she speaks up for marriage rights all the time, and she calls them civil rights. Back in the 90s, I was scorned by even some of our supporters. Carolyn, it's not a civil right. It's just a right. It's, you know. No, it's not. And now, everyone uses civil rights so easily. Mm-hmm. And so, if you say it long enough, it'll finally get through to people. But it's in the book, and the book is called the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, the human right is, and when you have an institution such as the church, and that means any church.
That's right.
When I first arrived here, there was an issue that there was a parade. The NAACP and others, there was a parade, and there were some gay people that wanted to march in it or in the parade. Mm-hmm. And someone made the statement, I don't know if it was NAACP or someone affiliated, says that gay rights is not civil rights. And this is not what Dr. Martin Luther King fought for. Well, let's say Dr. Martin Luther King didn't fight for gays. But I'm sure if he knew what they were going through, and if someone had a come to him and said, you know, you see that gentleman there with the robe on? He plays good music and sings here, but he's gay. You have a problem with that? And I'm sure he would have said no. And would have advocated for that person's right, would have prayed for him, done everything. But when I heard that, well, no, gay rights isn't equal to civil rights of what black people went through. Let me tell you, I'll throw you a little curve. What if you were gay and black?
And oh, by the way, the two couples, I'm not telling stories out of whatever, but Rodney Powell is black.
Mm-hmm.
And Sandy Farmer Riley from Maui is black. Mm-hmm. And they're both married to white husbands and wives.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have fought that dual battle because they call it some people call it the down low in the mm-hmm. In the black community.
Mm-hmm.
I challenge today on radio, and I will send out tonight a application. I will spend the 46 cents and send it to the NAACP. NAACP, for whatever reasons, locally, has never marched in the Gay Pride Parade. And their president, Alfonso, has told me, well, Carolyn, I can't bring it up. It's going to cause too many problems on the board. Yet individually, there are people who have told me, of course, you know, just because I've asked other people on their board to put in a good word.
Mm-hmm.
But they send me back to Alfonso, and Alfonso we'll see. This is an ongoing challenge.
You have that long to wait?
Well, the thing is...
You believe in miracles.
I believe in miracles.
My goodness.
The thing is, NAACP nationally mm-hmm. has come out... You know, the minute Joe Biden, Vice President Joe Biden started the thing... saying he believed in equal marriage rights. Then Obama, then NAACP. Then they started falling like flies.
Mm-hmm.
No, they were heroes. They finally started talking the truth. But you know what? Let's go back to Hawaii. A story out of the 1990s. We were fighting for accommodation rights. That means that no one, regardless of their age, gender, sex, blankety blank blank, and sexual orientation, could be discriminated against if they went to buy a house, rent a house, lease a house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the Capitol back in the 90s. I was a student, so I had my spare time was down at the Capitol testifying on civil rights issues of all. I was testifying on another issue, and at that time his name was, he still is Blake Oshiro, but at that time he was Representative Blake Oshiro. He comes into the hearing, asks me to come outside. I go out in the hallway with him, and he says, Carolyn, it's good news. We're going to pass the accommodations bill. There is a waiver for the churches. I said, what? Why? And he said, Carolyn, this is good. This really is good because we've got them to the point that they'd agree to for us to pass the bill. And I asked him, who runs this Capitol? The churches?
Yeah, they do.
Or the legislators?
Well, they
and that's today.
Remember HB 444?
That's
Linda
right.
Lingle had she and Kimberly Pine, representative,
mm-hmm.
Allowed them to come in her office and hold a private prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I was thinking of was people need to start talking about it more often. And you were saying about rental property and going to get a house. And I remember when I first married to go look for a house, even in Los Angeles now, and mm-hmm. that's a liberal state, right? To get a house, what we would do, we had learned, because once I go in as an interracial couple, they seeing that, oh, they could have 10,000 units open. and balloons and banners, open house for you go in, and oh no, we got them all, and they're all spoken for. So we had to engage in sending a white person to knock on the door first to ask if there was a vacancy, and then get the landlord or the manager to commit. Oh yeah, well, and would let them show them and get all the, and then we would then show up.
Mm-hmm. But, that's it.
But again, what does a gay couple do?
They're going by themselves.
But then you lied. You got you end up getting a letter that saying, "Well, you lied and you said only you." And these, it's simple. It's not comical. But again, mm-hmm. going back to the church, and we have legislators who can't bring themselves to the level of thinking that. What is the impact on the human life, the quality that's of right. life? That's what they're in place for, not to accommodate the church.
That's right. Well, just this year, Mike and I and Holly Huber went in to talk to the chair of the House Judiciary, mm-hmm. Carl Rhodes. Carl Rhodes has always been, up to this time, a very fair-minded person. He's always stood up for unions and for civil rights. Mm-hmm. But we were there because there had come into question the fact that there was a bill. And I've been working with so many bills now, I'm forgetting the numbers. But there was a bill that was for marriage. And he wasn't going to bring it for a hearing. Now, you know that, or people may not know. Those of you who do, forgive me. For clarification, if the bill isn't heard, it's dead in the water. Mm-hmm. If it's not heard that whole session, mm-hmm. then it can be brought up the next session. But next year is an election year. And I've been fighting with the Capitol since the 1990s when Ben Cayetano was governor. And I went in fighting for, it was the hate crimes bill. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, God, this is... anyway, quick story. I asked him to do what he could to get the House and the Senate to pass it. And he said, oh, Carolyn, well, you know, it's so hard. And this was a hate crimes bill. But because it included protection for gays and lesbians, that was causing a problem. And the churches were sending massive amount of people in to testify against it. And his thing to me was, well, you know, there's a big election coming up next year. And I said, Governor, excuse me, but there's always a big election coming up this next year. So the same thing. We go from the 1990s to 2013, and Carl Rhodes said, and he said this in the newspaper, well, I don't have the will of the legislators. That's funny, because before the session started, 2 days before the session started, Governor Abercrombie was going to put in his packet the right to marry bill. 2 days before session, at a meeting with supporters, we were told he was not going to. Mm-hmm. And at that time, my stomach turned over, but I was silent. I am so sorry I was silent. Why didn't anyone at that table say, why? Why is the governor not going to support the marriage bill? Why is he not going to insert it in his packet? Right. So then Rhodes says, well, he just can't do it. And I said, well, I have a list. I have a list of our supporters in the House. Let's compare lists. Oh, I can't do that, he said, because if it would get out that I told who said they wouldn't support it, they wouldn't trust me anymore. Wow. Well, he doesn't care if I don't trust him anymore. Mm-hmm. So, well. See, it's the same old nonsense year after year. Civil rights is civil rights, bottom line. Mm-hmm. Get a grip, folks. Okay. Get a grip, Cavs.
All right. Well, Carolyn, hello you from PFLAG, and Mike, thank you for joining me. We're down the line. But come back, because a lot of the things, I just like the basic talk about this, because we don't realize. We're sitting back judging people and the impact that we have on their lives. We can't even measure it. We can't quantify it, but I guarantee you what I'm learning is that just from my life experience, and I think back, it was painful. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, where do we get in touch with you real quick?
Okay, well, you can send me an email message. You can go on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, Carolyn Martinez Gloria. You can go on Facebook for PFLAG, PFLAG Oahu. You can write me a note to information at pflagoahu.org. You can call me at 779-9078. And we'll be testifying tomorrow on the resolution.
Okay. Well, thank you. We'll have you back.
Thank you.
This is the Carol Cox Show. I'll see you next week, and hopefully we'll be talking about cake and a big piece of the pie. Aloha.
The hour is over?
Can
it's time for the Carol Cox Show on K1.